Imagine Winston Churchill addressing Britain during the darkest days of World War II. His words didn't merely inform, they transformed despair into determination, fear into courage. This power to persuade isn't magic, but methodology, a teachable skill that Ryan Topping resurrects in The Elements of Rhetoric. In an age where communication increasingly happens through screens rather than faces, the ability to speak and write persuasively has never been more crucial. This isn't just about professional success, it's about arming the virtuous against manipulation. When we abandon rhetoric to marketers and politicians, we surrender one of democracy's essential tools. The ancient Greeks understood this, making rhetoric a cornerstone of citizenship. Today, as we navigate complex global challenges from climate change to technological disruption, clear, persuasive communication remains our bridge between knowledge and action, between understanding a problem and solving it. Clear speaking begins with clear thinking. Without logical structure, listeners can't even offer disagreement. Grammar isn't mere pedantry, it's the foundation of credibility. A misplaced comma or incorrect word choice can completely transform your meaning and undermine your message. Three principles should guide your writing. First, omit needless words. Write multiple drafts, eliminating unnecessary verbiage. "She is a woman who enjoys reading" becomes "she enjoys reading." Second, prefer active voice. Replace "it will be discussed" with "I will discuss." Third, use parallel structure for similar ideas. Buddha demonstrated this. All that we are is defined by our thoughts. It begins where our thoughts begin, it moves where our thoughts move, and it rests where our thoughts rest. Logic connects ideas through three mental acts: understanding, grasping essences through definitions, judging, evaluating propositions, and reasoning, connecting judgments. Like building a house, arguments require solid premises, walls, to support conclusions, upper floors. Without common ground, you'll never share the view from the top. Have you ever been convinced by a perfectly logical argument that left you unmoved? Logic alone rarely persuades. Pathos, the emotional quality of your presentation, determines whether your message resonates. Emotions are neither good nor bad. They're keys on a keyboard that must be played appropriately. The principle of proportion governs effective emotional appeal. Too little pathos causes you to be ignored. Too much causes dismissal. Concrete language moves hearts more effectively than abstractions. Compare "I was sad" to Shakespeare's "The quality of mercy is not strained, it droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven." Farley Moat's description of prairie drought makes readers want to spit the dirt out of your mouth through sensory details, creating emotional resonance abstract explanations cannot match. Why do we believe some speakers instantly while doubting others despite credentials? Style is character embodied in speech. The Romans understood that character produces conviction, defining the good orator as vir bonus decendi peritus, a good person expert in speech. For listeners to believe you, they must first like you. As Pope Francis noted, there is a difference between a professor and a teacher. The teacher involves others. It is profoundly testimonial. Your body reveals truth more than your words. When communication channels contradict, people trust the body over tone and tone over words. For effective bodily communication, master three elements: position, where you stand, motion, facial expressions and gestures, and velocity, speed of movement. Your eyes should follow either a sweep pattern, side to side, or horseshoe pattern, front, back, front, making personal connections with individuals. Your voice is an instrument requiring practice. Master three basic alterations: tempo, slow to fast, pitch, high to low, and projection, soft to loud. Maintain conversational speech as your baseline, using variations for emphasis. Don't be discouraged by natural limitations. History's great speakers, like Demosthenes, Churchill, and James Earl Jones, all overcame vocal impediments. Before writing or speaking, ask, what do I want to accomplish, rather than, what will I say? Every communication aims to teach, please, or move to action. Approach your audience with empathy. They may be tired or distracted. Serve them by being pleasant, prepared, and punctual. Use simple, memorable language that's concise and clear. Lincoln's Gettysburg Address achieved remarkable impact in just 10 sentences through powerful simplicity. Match your rhetorical style to your purpose. Restrained for academic topics, mixed for theoretical matters, and grand for practical matters requiring action. Good structure provides an invisible framework that prevents audience confusion. Craft introductions with three elements: a hook to grab attention, a line leading to your thesis, and a sinker explaining what to expect. Use transitions as logical bridges in your argument, following the Sensurk pattern: claim, example, reason, claim. For conclusions, include a summary, amplification of broader implications, and a specific call to action. Great speakers don't reinvent language, they master its time-tested patterns. Four traditional speech structures serve as foundations: the pleasant conversation, question-answer format like FDR's fireside chats, the plain style speech, claim reason example claim pattern common in TED Talks, the classical sermon, formal structure used in King's I Have a Dream, and the scholastic dispute, presenting opposing viewpoints before resolution. To avoid boring your audience, the cardinal sin of rhetoric, vary your speech patterns. Erasmus demonstrated this by showing over 80 variations of "Your letter pleased me greatly," including rearranging word order, changing voice, and employing synonyms. Such variation reflects nature's rich diversity and prevents monotony. Literary figures create memorable patterns in language. These include repetition devices, anaphora, I have a dream, structural devices, antithesis, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country, and dramatic touches, metaphors, similes. Each creates intelligent disruptions in cadence that please the ear and elevate ideas, as in Churchill's, "We shape our buildings, and afterwards our buildings shape us." In abandoning rhetoric, we've surrendered what Athens considered essential for citizenship. This educational mistake coincided with our desperate need to navigate increasingly complex global challenges. The fruits of self-expression without discipline have disappointed, producing graduates who struggle with complex texts after years of what educators euphemistically call student-centered learning. Yet ours is a time of reconstruction. The fundamental challenge remains: reconciling wisdom and power, preserving humanity from increasingly destructive technologies while harnessing their benefits. This is where rhetoric, properly wedded to philosophy, offers hope that even in our fractured world, truth might marry beauty, producing discourse that is both profound and compelling. When citizens cannot articulate their views persuasively, they become vulnerable to manipulation by those who master propaganda. By reclaiming the classical tradition, we recover not just techniques of expression, but essential civic virtues: the ability to reason clearly, argue fairly, and present truth in ways that engage both mind and heart. In a world where everyone has a platform, but few have something worth saying, mastering the elements of rhetoric isn't just about personal success, it's about preserving the very possibility of meaningful public discourse.